Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and let's go over those education zeros again from this day of headlines about the education money trail. The Obama administration decides how much money New York State deserves in the race to the top competition, zero. Governor Christie decides how much of a pay raise New Jersey teachers should get in the coming year, zero. Governor Patterson decides how much April school aid he's releasing to school districts, zero. And the Bloomberg administration decides how much difference cash payments to parents made in improving their failing kids' grades. You guessed it, zero. WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig is here. She covers the New York City schools and is author of the book, Why Can't You Teach Me to Read? She also has a website now, BethFertig.com, which is related to the book, and she has a post up there as well today on the relationship between federal education policy and New York. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Brian.
And Diane D'Amico, education writer for the Press of Atlantic City. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
Diane, I'll start with you. New Jersey's budget crisis has Governor Christie offering, do I have this right, more school aid to districts that get unions to freeze teacher pay for the next year.
Yes. Not so much more school aid, but that he would basically reimburse the districts for what the Social Security payments and Medicare payments on those increases would have cost. Because the state pays the Social Security.
And I want to play a little clip of the governor talking about this.
It's not about, oh, I have this secret little pool of money over here where I'm going to reward my friends. This is, if I'm not paying for an increase, then I don't have to pay the increased amount of Social Security and Medicare that will go along with that. So that money is there.
But it does sound like it's kind of a reward, because if they're reducing the expenses in the school districts by freezing teacher pay and getting teachers to go along with a one-year pay freeze, but they're going to get more money than districts that don't freeze teacher pay. Explain it.
Well, they would get that difference in that the difference of that Social Security payment that the state would normally pay. Instead, he will give that money to the district.
And he can do that. He can dangle that out there like that.
I guess he thinks so. I don't see why not, because that would be just state money that the state would normally send to the federal government for those payments, since they don't have to do that. If he thinks he has that money available, that's his incentive.
And this is already leading to different reactions, I gather, from different locals, union locals. Looking at the website, mycentraljersey.com this morning, I see, for example, that the teachers in Metuchen and Edison have agreed to this, while the union in Woodbridge is holding fast to the existing contract and their 4% pay raise. So how do you see this playing out around the state?
Well, I've been attending some local board meetings down here, and it really depends on how it is going to affect jobs. A few districts are saying, if you promise to put all the wage freeze money and all the money into retaining those jobs that you were going to cut, they would consider it. But they want to make sure that if they even consider doing the wage freeze, that any money would go to saving jobs.
Beth, how long before we start seeing a similar request from Albany to deliver its state aid?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard of any proposal like that. But what they are doing is, by freezing the state aid, over $2 billion that was supposed to be released at the end of this month to the districts around the state, about $900 million to New York City.
The end of this month, meaning today, March 31st, right?
The governor just ordered that yesterday, that he's not going to release the money. That means, according to the New York State School Boards Association, that districts are going to have to either borrow temporarily in order to, you know, last for the rest of the school year through June, or they're going to have to dip into reserves. Either way, they lose, because if they dip into their reserves, they're going to lose out on interest they were making. If they borrow, they're going to have to pay interest. So it creates a lot of uncertainty, because they also don't know for sure that they're going to get the money come June. The governor's statement says that it's presuming sufficient cash is available at that time.
this is how serious things are right now. This is how bad the cash flow problem is.
Exactly.
The governor says he doesn't have the cash on hand to give the school aid that was scheduled to go to local districts today. And from what you just read, and I hadn't heard that part before, he's not even promising that the payment will be delivered by the end of June, which, frankly, I thought he was promising as of yesterday.
No, he says the state intends to meet the June 1st statutory deadline for making this payment, assuming sufficient cash is available at that time. But he had made a similar type of warning at the end of last year when he delayed school aid payments, and then a couple of weeks later, he released it. But there was a lot of uncertainty back then, and that's why the teachers' unions and the State School Boards Association filed a lawsuit, which they are continuing, because they believe it's illegal for the governor to withhold money like this. The governor says it is within his powers, and they're continuing that lawsuit because they want to stop him this time, and it's unclear if they're going to have to bring additional legal action. They're having some meeting about that today.
And in the meantime, you say school districts might have to go on to the loan market to get through the next couple of months, or into their reserves if they have reserves. Any word yet from Chancellor Klein or Mayor Bloomberg how New York is going to compensate?
No, they've been very quiet about this, even though we're talking about $900 million that the city was expecting. So, you know, it's pretty unclear. This just came through yesterday.
Right.
But, you know, one thing that the State School Boards Association says is that, especially given the enormous cuts that districts are expecting this coming fall, $1.4 billion in cuts across the state, that there's probably going to be more freezing of programs. You know, they may not do maintenance, they may defer different, you know, school programs, cut supplies, things like that, because it's just bad all around.
Henry in Jersey City is calling in about freezing teacher pay statewide. Hi, Henry.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I just wanted to say that, you know, personally, I've had to I had to deal with a 7.5% salary reduction. And I live in an area where the property, over half of my property taxes go to the school board, go to school. So I don't understand why teachers can be more sensitive to the communities they live in and forego a raise when a lot of the residents in that community either lost their jobs or, like myself, had to take a 7.5% pay cut.
So, Diane D'Amico from the Press of Atlantic City, what would the New Jersey Education Association, the teachers' union, say to Henry?
Well, they say the governor should instead raise the taxes on people making more than $400,000 and let the teachers have their raises, because they're working-class people who, you know, make what Henry makes, probably, maybe. So, you know, they're focusing their efforts on encouraging the governor to retain that tax. And basically, it's, you know, tax the rich and pay us.
Henry, what do you think about that argument?
I think that is wrong. I think that is wrong. I also work in a manufacturing plant where management, in order to keep the manufacturing plant open, had to work a deal with the union in order to have the union employees in this plant forego their raises, because all the non-union employees in this plant took a pay cut. Now, how can you know, in a manufacturing plant, you have some of the people getting pay cuts and some of the people, because they're union people, not be allowed to be part of the solution? I think teachers need to be part of the solution. Not getting a pay raise is completely different from getting a pay cut.
Henry, thank you very much. And anyone else may call in as well, 212-433-WNYC from New York or New Jersey or anywhere, 212-433-9692, as we talk to education reporters Beth Fertig from WNYC and Diane D'Amico from the Press of Atlantic City, 212-433-9692, or you can post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Diane, to follow up on Henry's call, I gather the average increase in the teachers' contracts for the next year is about 4%.
Yeah, so it's a little bit over, but right around 4.
Is the debate within the local teachers' unions about which fate they would rather suffer, the wage freezes or layoffs? Because if they refuse the wage freeze in most localities, layoffs of some of their ranks will be a result, or doesn't it break out that way?
It varies by district. I mean, that is one issue in New Jersey, is with 600-odd public school districts and charter schools, each union does locally negotiate their contract with their local school board. This is not a state function.
Mm-hmm.
So in a district where maybe there will not be many layoffs,
Maybe it's not such a big deal. They don't feel they're going to save any jobs. In a district where many, many people might be laid off, there's more pressure because they're all members of the union. So it's really just going to depend on the local discussion. I think I noticed Montclair agreed to have the teachers at the higher end of the wage scale agreed to take the freeze. I think that's part of the issue. Teachers at the lower end aren't maybe making as much. They're more reluctant to do that than the teachers at the high end, because we forget sometimes that, starting teachers may be making, 40, 45, but teachers at the top could be making 75 or 80.
Meanwhile, Beth Fertig, another of these education zeros in the news, is the amount of money that New York State will get from its application for an Obama administration Race to the Top grant. And again, how teachers are paid is one of the central issues. Here's the Board of Regents Chancellor, Merrill Tisch, on the various reasons New York got turned down.
We lost a significant number of points due to our charter school cap, and we lost a significant number of points due to the lack of data system, and we lost a significant number of points on issues around teacher evaluation.
Merrill Tisch, audio courtesy of New York One. Beth Fertig, there was so much anticipation for this potentially $700 million of federal aid coming to New York. People will remember there was that deadline debate in the state legislature as whether to expand the cap on charter schools, as the Obama folks want, and whether to tie teacher pay to performance in the way that the Obama folks want, and I guess it didn't get done to their satisfaction.
No, and that's why you had the governor and Mayor Michael Bloomberg both saying they were disappointed but not surprised. And that's because they knew all along that these were really critical components of school reform favored by the Obama administration. U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan had said many times that he didn't want a so-called firewall preventing the use of student test scores from being used to evaluate teachers. And he even, spoke very favorably of states that eliminated that type of firewall. And he praised Wisconsin and Louisiana for allowing that. And then he also spoke very often about how they should allow more charter schools to flourish, and that states that made it difficult for charters to flourish would also be penalized. So in fact, when the reviewers looked at New York's application, the states could get a total of 500 points. That was the maximum. And the winning states, Delaware and Tennessee, had, I think, over 450 points or something like that. New York was ranked number 15 out of the 16 finalists.
Ouch.
Yeah, seriously, because in that section on charter schools, which counted for 40 points, New York lost at least 13 or 15 points because of this cap on charter schools. The reviewers wrote that it looked like New York didn't have the political will to let charter schools happen because of this cap of only 200 statewide, which they said was way too low for a state with 4,500 schools. They also said that it looked like collective bargaining agreements, meaning union contracts, would get in the way of evaluating teachers and getting rid of bad teachers. So those were the two key areas that the Obama administration wanted states to make reforms in that New York did not. And now we're going to see another round of lobbying and arguing because the state can apply for round two of Race to the Top by June.
Uh-huh.
And the Obama administration has said this time there could be 10 to 15 winners in a pool of money as big as $3.4 billion. If New York doesn't make those changes, it doesn't look very good for the state.
And meanwhile, a judge has ruled that the 19 failing schools, or schools deemed to be failing, that the city wanted to close must stay open, as parents have protested for them too. And part of the plan was to replace some of them with charter schools, right?
Yes. And the city says it's going to go ahead with that no matter what. In the 19 schools that were going to be phased out starting in September, including a lot of big, low-performing high schools with low graduation rates like Paul Robeson and Christopher Columbus in the Bronx and Jamaica High School in Queens, the city planned to move in either small new high schools that they say have much higher graduation rates because the kids get more attention, or charter schools. There were going to be four charter schools moving into the buildings in the fall. So the city says it's going to look for other locations. It's going to continue. And it's also going to appeal that judge's decision. It's just a lower court. They can go to the next court level. But what that's done right now is very interesting because other folks are seeing that the ruling by the judge said the city didn't do a proper environmental impact statement, looking at not the environment per se, but the neighborhood environment, what effect it would have if you closed a school on surrounding schools, and where would those children go? Where, what programs should be shut, such as there's a program for pregnant mothers at Paul Robeson High School? Where would the kids go if they can't get that program? And so the judge really criticized the city for not doing enough of an assessment. Now other folks are stepping forward and saying, hey, New York City, you're planning to open a charter school in the school that my kid goes to? I don't think you did a proper assessment of that either. So we're going to file a complaint with the State Department of Education. And there's some folks today complaining about charter schools run by Eva Moskowitz, the former city councilwoman who has a network called Harlem Success with a lot of charter schools. And they're complaining that she's gotten some preferential treatment and that there should have been more environmental impact statements of her schools. So I think this has just opened the door to a lot more legal action.
Alice in Suffolk, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alice.
Hi. I wanted to comment on something a previous caller said when he was saying that in his company, a private company, the union agreed not to take pay raises along with management. And unfortunately, education doesn't follow that same plan. Many schools are top heavy. Many schools are very wasteful, not where the teacher salaries are concerned, but where the superintendents, assistant superintendents, assistants to the assistant superintendents, principals, are we asking them to make the same sacrifices?
Aha, uh-huh, very good question. So Diane D'Amico, education reporter for the Press of Asbury Park. If Governor Christie is asking for teachers to freeze their pay to help with the budget for the next year, how about principals or administrators or school contractors for that matter?
Well, it is pretty much an across-the-board request. And I know in several cases the top administrators have already said they would take the pay freeze to sort of set the example. So I know the focus has really been on the teachers, but the request really is, has gone across the board to have everyone take it.
So it is for everyone at all levels. And is it your understanding that principals and administrators are lining up to say yes?
I don't know if they're lining up. I have heard that they initially agreed. You know, this did kind of happen very quickly, so it is a matter of reopening contract negotiations. But I tend to hear that the administrative groups pretty much agreed pretty quickly to open up the renegotiations. What that leads to, we'll see.
Oscar and Weehawken, you're on WNYC. Hi, Oscar.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to defend the unions. I think that they're getting bashed on a little bit too much, and you have to look back at history and why unions were created in the first place, and it's to prevent abuses of the workers. Now, I think some unions could be abusive in their respect as well, but one thing that we shouldn't forget is that these teachers are friends and neighbors, and they make a good salary, and they spend the money in the economy, and they also pay their taxes, so let's not cut our nose to spite our face. Thank you.
Thank you, and one of our other callers who didn't hang on and wait wanted to suggest that the teachers save some money by having the unions cut back on dues requests for this year. Any talk of that?
Diane? I know the governor in New Jersey kind of mentioned that himself, that they were the union was talking about the 1.5% pay that they're asking the teachers to pay toward their benefits. And he was saying, well, look at all they're already asked to pay to their dues to the NJEA. So
right. Well,
that issue did come up, that he did bring it up. I haven't heard whether that's being discussed at all.
Right. And there is a difference between contributions to a retirement plan, for example, which needs to be funded, and union dues. But, Diane, you told us off the air that there's a Facebook war over this whole issue. Where
well,
does Facebook?
The NJEA has an Facebook site. I think it's called New Jersey NJ Kids and Families. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Okay.
And you know, they've certainly put it up, and they're getting both sides. I mean, that website is really it's for anyone up there to be able to go up and comment. So you're getting pro and you're getting, you know, against, and it's a pretty open website. The governor has his Facebook, and there it's pretty much all pro. It's more filtered. It's people who are supporting him. There's a teacher up in North Jersey somewhere who has a site up. They've got petitions going, and you know they're really pushing this on the web.
Beth, we're really in a time of the role of teachers, teacher pay, teacher quality, teacher evaluation. being thrust into the spotlight. I feel like we went through this about 10 years ago with respect to some other education issues. And in fact, at that time, I think the push was to get higher teacher pay, certainly in New York City and a lot of places, to help improve education. Now it's rethinking the amount that teachers are paid, rethinking the way that teachers are evaluating, are evaluated. So one of the things to come out of this time of state budget crises and educational stagnation, I guess, is that it's another pivotal moment for redefining the place of teachers in American society. Huh?
Especially now that there's a Democratic president who's pushing this. And so the teachers unions are feeling pressure to go along with him, more so the American Federation of Teachers, led by Randy Weingarten, who was formerly the teachers union president here in New York City, than the NEA, the other teachers union, which has been a little more resistant to these types of changes. But they definitely are feeling as though, you know, hey, this is the guy who's supposed to be on our side, a Democrat, and we're going to look like the bad guys if we don't play along. But yet they're drawing the line on certain things. They don't like it when test scores alone are used to determine which teachers remain and which teachers get, you know, good evaluations. They want that to be part of a larger system of looking at effective teachers. They want more money for professional development. And yes, this president does like performance bonuses and things like that. But these are financial incentives that are part of the stimulus fund and part of the U.S. Education Department's own, you know, reward system. And as we're seeing, states are dealing with huge deficits right now and freezes. I don't know how many states are going to be able to afford these types of things without the federal support. So, you know, it's kind of conflicting resource, you know, demands right now, given what the resources are.
WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig, author of the book Why Can't You Teach Me to Read? Diane D'Amico, education reporter for the Press of Asbury Park. Thank you both for talking.
Atlantic City.
Did I say Asbury Park twice already?
That's all right.
Atlantic City. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you both. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Still to come this hour, who put the T in LGBT? We'll look at new findings on job discrimination in retail against the transgendered in New York, and living the three-screen life. New survey results on massive media multitasking in America. So we'll ask what other media you're consuming while listening to the show right now. You can post that to our Facebook page or to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.